Right, folks, welcome to another episode of Talking Cloud. As always, I'm your host, Brett. I am flying solo this week. Travers is a little under the weather, so he's taking the stream off today to rest his voice. So let's jump right in to our updates for the week. As usual, we'll start with our AWS update. We've got an update to Control Tower. This is an improvement that will allow us to run more control operation at one time. So Control Tower right now can submit up to 100 operations concurrently, which is an improvement over what you could do before, which should allow us to obviously operate much larger Control Tower implementations, as it says in the title here, Gale. I think one of the biggest challenges that we've run into personally with Control Tower when we're operating a Control Tower implementation for a customer is just, the ability to run a certain number of operations concurrently has been limited. So now we can run up to 100. So that's a great little thing. And I'm sure some people are enjoying the outcomes of this very quickly as soon as it was released. So that's our first update. Our next update is on Bedrock. Bedrock, if you're not familiar, is Amazon's managed platform for Gen AI solutions. It lets you run a whole bunch of foundational models without having to worry about all of the underlying infrastructure. One of the features of Bedrock is a knowledge base, and this allows us to connect our own data sources to one of the supported foundational models that, well, are supported by the knowledge base implementation within Bedrock. We've done a couple live streams on knowledge bases over the last couple weeks. I'll make sure that I share the links to those episodes on our YouTube channel that you can have a look at. We're basically building out a custom knowledge base on Bedrock. But a new feature now is once you've got that knowledge base in place, you've selected your foundational models, you can now also integrate that with guardrails for Amazon Bedrock. And this allows you to, well, the title, I think, does a great job of just explaining what this is. It allows you to implement guardrail. It allows you to, well, protect your users by implementing policies. And you can see here in the second paragraph, a policy that you could use to protect your users from undesirable responses and interactions with a Gen AI application. So you can deny topics, you can set up filters, and then you can define offensive and inappropriate words that are also blocked in your application. Really important if you're building Gen AI applications to make sure that you're, well, obviously protecting your users and making sure those users have a good experience interacting with your application. Okay. I think what we'll do is once we finish up our knowledge base walkthrough with Bedrock, we will set up some guardrails just to see how it works. That's our second update. We also have an update here with the simple email service. There's a new feature of the SES service called Mail Manager, and it can help you manage both inbound and outbound workflows. This is really interesting to me in the fact that essentially it's providing us with a set of management tools, right? And we can use those tools to streamline operations, whether it's inbound or outbound. And I had a quick look at this. There's a really good blog post. You can see a link here in the news release, and they kind of go through some more use cases. You've got ingress endpoints, you've got egress endpoints, and you can set up all sorts of filtering policies. There are what they call add-ons that you can, well, add to your mail manager. And you can see here, there's a couple examples of integration that supported Trend Micro, SpamHaus. So you can integrate your workflows into those third-party tools as well. Limited availability right now, brand new features. So you can see it's available in only 4 regions. But as is the case normally with these releases, I'm sure you'll see them show up in other regions very soon. So that's interesting. If you're using SES, gives you more control over both inbound and outbound workflows. And then finally, our last AWS update for the week is Amazon Security Lake. If you're not familiar with Security Lake, this is essentially a data lake solution, a managed data lake solution on AWS, purpose-built to centralize security-related data, whether that is from other AWS environments, whether it's from a list of supported SaaS providers, your on-prem infrastructure, and even other cloud sources. So you can pull all of this together in one large data lake. And Amazon just announced that you can now ingest logs coming from Amazon's managed web application firewall as well. So that is the update for AWS this week. We're going to shift gears and have a quick look at some interesting news articles we dug up around GenAI. Our first is related to ChatGPT 4.0 or Omni. We did a little live demo in the previous podcast last week, and we kind of played around with the voice aspects of this. And there's a little bit of a controversy that's happened here. One of the ChatGPT voices that you could use is called Sky. I think there's four or five. And from my reading, the plan from OpenAI is to introduce more voices over time. The controversy right now is that the Sky implementation, the voice implementation, sounds very similar to Scarlett Johansson, which we also talked about last week because we always do the movie segment. And I mentioned, you know, because we were talking about ChatGPT, to have a look at the movie Her. If you remember, Scarlett Johansson played the voice assistant, she voiced the AI in that movie. And I guess the backstory here is that OpenAI did approach her earlier on and asked if she would be willing to do this, and she declined. Didn't give a reason why she declined, but just said no. And ultimately, what's happened here is this new ChatGPT voice has some similarities to Scarlett Johansson. So now there's some lawyers talking, and OpenAI has said that they've removed the voice for the time being until they can figure out a better way to approach this in the future. I tried it out on my phone. Sky is still there. We listened to it a couple times. I couldn't hear similarities, but they've obviously made some changes here very quickly to make sure that trying to get on the right side of it. So a bit of a controversy here. Our next article is about NVIDIA. We've talked about NVIDIA in the past on the show, right? Obviously with the GPUs, right? Everybody's using NVIDIA GPUs for their Gen AI application. And essentially here, they did an earnings report, I think yesterday or the day before, let's say earlier in the week. And, you know, I think the headline here sums this up. NVIDIA's enormous financial success becomes normal. The story here is essentially NVIDIA's business continues to grow at exponential rates. They break down their sales numbers by data center, gaming. There's a couple different things that contribute to the overall number that NVIDIA reports. You can see here clearly data center is where they're making all of their money. And in this article, they mentioned that by far on the data center sales side, mostly what's driving that is sale of Hopper GPUs, which have risen five times over the last reporting period. And, you know, as they say in the article here, the party is still on with NVIDIA as it continues to make lots and lots of money as people are scrambling to get these high-powered chips and make them available for their Gen AI applications. The other sort of thing to think about here, though, with this is obviously there is competition here that's trying to play catch-up. We've got, you know, Intel, you've got the ARM Coalition, you've got cloud providers like AWS and Microsoft, even Google with their Tensor GPUs, trying to figure out how to get more of a slice of this market. So I guess the follow-on question to this is, hey, we're making lots of money. How long does this continue? Because obviously competitors are playing catch up here, but they will catch up at some point. So that's an interesting article. The other thing I noticed as I was prepping for the abbreviated version of the podcast this week was that, and I didn't get a chance to confirm this or not, but I also saw a couple related articles about a potential stock split. So I know right now, I think NVIDIA, last time I looked, was trading at about $1,000 US a share. And I don't know if this headline can be completely trusted at this point, but it did say that there is a stock, a 10 for 1 stock split coming in. I think they said June. So if you're interested in maybe purchasing some NVIDIA shares to get a little slice of this success, maybe that's the time to do it. Obviously, we're not giving financial advice here, but you never know. Might make a lot of sense there. Okay, so that's NVIDIA. And our last article for today is about a new feature that is being released, I think, in Windows 11. It's called Recall. And what it's doing is essentially taking a screenshot of your active screen every few seconds. And what Microsoft is pitching this as is essentially allowing you to sort through your activities with a Gen AI tool that's running locally on your PC, right, within your operating system, and basically allowing you to go back in time and look at what you were up to. This feature does require some horsepower to do. I can't remember the exact specs. I think it was something like 16 gigs of RAM, a certain amount of storage space, and you also have to be using what's called a Copilot Plus PC, which Windows, Microsoft also announced earlier in the week. And these are purpose-built machines that give you this, basically the local horsepower to be able to run the Recall feature. The Recall feature itself has caused a lot of controversy since it was just announced earlier in the week. Obviously, there's lots of concerns about customer privacy if it's taking screenshots every few seconds. There's also, in this article, they talk about how it's recording keystrokes and things like that. So, you know, rightly so, there's a lot of people that are concerned about this. Microsoft did respond and say that you can see here a little quote, all of the snapshots that are taken are encrypted and they're saved on your local PC hard drive. And then you can use that content to kind of go back in time and look at what you've done in the past. Okay. So yeah, I think this is inevitable. And the fact just with all the AI tools that are out here that are being released, and this isn't the first time that I've stumbled across something like this. I can't remember the name of the product at this point. I think it was called Rewind AI. It was an application that you could run on your desktop or laptop. And it would do, I think, something very similar. And then you could run searches and go back and see what you did. Now, I don't know exactly how it was working. So this is not something that is brand new. And I would expect that we're going to see more of this in the future. But it has stirred up quite a bit of controversy. Oh, another thing that I made in my notes here, these Copilot Plus PCs that were introduced this week are not running Intel chips, at least right now. The article that I read mentioned Qualcomm Snapdragon Elite chips, so built for those right now. I would suspect that you'll see other chip providers here, but at release, I think it was only the Snapdragon chip that was available. Okay. One other thing to keep in mind here is Microsoft also said that if you're running one of these PCs and have this feature enabled, will not take snapshots when you are incognito browsing, but only if you're using the Microsoft Edge product or if you're browsing some sort of DRM protected content, it won't take snapshots of those. I guess you'd have to decide how comfortable you are with all of this history being recorded on your PC. I can see a lot of value. I don't know how many of you struggle with this, but often I know I took a note or I know I said something in Slack and I'm trying to go back and find it. And we often joke that, you know, we use Slack every day. We run our entire business in Slack, but we often sort of half joke that Slack is where information goes to die because you can never seem to find it. You know it's there, but you can never seem to find it. So having these types of tools and features available to you right in the operating system, I can see how this would be very interesting for a lot of people. You do have to weigh that with the risks associated with privacy. That is all the information that we have for this week. Our AWS update and our GenAI news. Abbreviated episode this week since Travers is out. As usual, we'll wrap up with some housekeeping. We've got 7 days to our Intro to GenAI webinar on AWS. I will make sure to include a link to that in the show notes. So we're going to do that on May 30th at 1 p.m. Eastern. I hope to see you there. And then, as always, we'll wrap up with our movie segment. My wife and I watched The Retirement Plan. I know I'll have to tell Travers about this after the fact. It's a Nicolas Cage movie. He's essentially retired, living in the Cayman Islands, but he's a CIA operative, I guess. And his family gets into some trouble, and you can probably figure out the theme from that. I didn't think it was a bad movie. Maybe I'm a little biased with Nicolas Cage, but you can find it on a streaming platform near you. It's worth maybe a couple hours of investment of your time if you are a Nicolas Cage fan. It was a okay movie to watch. And that's it for this week, folks. We'll be back next Thursday. You'll have myself and Travers. Enjoy your week, and we will see you Thursday at 1 p.m. Bye for now.